Well, it is true that my daughter has 10 children. I'd like to have you remember that because I brought some pictures with me. I'll look at yours if you look at mine, okay? Is that a deal? How many of you have had a difficult week, a challenging week? Let's be positive about this, you know. Okay, my goodness, 90% of you raised your hand. How many of you have had a whole week that you kind of like to, or a whole month that you'd like to forget about? Any of you, you know? How many of you had a whole year you'd like to just erase from the calendar? Well, I'm so thankful that it says in Psalm 139 that God previewed this day, and He knew that we needed to be together to experience His heartbeat, and that He will be experienced in and through us to one another. Because we live such busy lives, we need to take the time, and you're to be commended to take the time and the expense in coming out this wonderful conference. A friend of mine told me about how one day how she was rushing around town, and Jeannie said she had so many things on her to-do list to do, and she was getting a lot of it done. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she thought, well, I'm not going to go home and get lunch. I'm just going to treat myself to a drive-through lunch. After all, she said, I have a 99-cent coupon. So she was driving back behind Restaurant Row, and she came up to an order monitor, and she said, one regular roast beef sandwich, please, on a 99-cent coupon. And she was looking into her handbag for the coupon, and she heard the order monitor say, ma'am, do you know where you are? She said, well, yes, I'm right in my car. I'm ordering a roast beef sandwich. Ma'am, the voice continued, we don't do roast beef. This is Kentucky Fried Chicken. And Jeannie had overshot Arby's roast beef sandwich place by two businesses. Any of you identify with that? You know, we're just so busy. Well, as Bobby mentioned, my husband is retired. And by the way, when you meet him at the book table, you remember he's mine. And so we are usually gone about 2 months at a time, home for a couple of weeks, and then we take off again. And my husband is driving me everywhere, taking wonderful care of me, and I'm so blessed. And we had so many things to do to get ready for our last trip. We left in January and just got back a couple of days ago and take off again in another week. And I've got most of everything done on my list. I've been in the mall. And I came out, and I had a few moments of anxiety because I wasn't exactly sure where I'd left my car. Have any of you been in that? Well, I mentioned this to my friend, and my friend said, oh, Joanne, that's nothing. I was in the mall, and I had to call my husband and leave a message on his answering machine. And I said, I'm going to be late getting home from the mall. I forgot where I parked my car. I'm going to have to wait till everyone else leaves. Well, we've taken the time to come away to experience the heartbeat of God today, the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. I've been praying a lot about this conference. It's so obvious to me, all the prayer that has gone up. And I've been praying that even though we have, it looks like a packed house, that it still would be as all of us speak and minister and we come alongside of each other, it still would be as though we're in a living room and we're just sitting across from one another and we're sharing heart to heart, friend to friend, even intimate to intimate, as we zero in on what it is that God, through the work of His Holy Spirit, wants to speak to us and is speaking to us about this day. You see, as we take a look at the Word, and if you've brought a Bible with you, turn to the very first book of the Bible, and we read about this wonderful heartbeat of God in the creation of man and woman. So in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, a couple of verses here. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And whether you have King James or NIV or RSV or Living Bible, you wouldn't have any problem following along with me. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You see, God made something of himself in this particular being that existed in no other being, not even the angels. Now, animals are not people. I live in Lincoln City, Oregon. It was so wonderful to speak in my own state. And we see the whales spouting usually several months out of the year. And if we look at the whales, or we see the dolphins or whatever, you see, no dolphin or whale has the image of God. And only man and woman would bear the indelible stamp of the image of God. Interesting to note that all the other creatures that God created, it's like he spoke them into existence. They were there. But mankind and womankind, he took time to form. Let's go to Genesis 2:7 to reiterate this just a little bit. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. Now, I love this verse because to me there's something very tender and caring and intimate and wonderful here. Because think of this. God took some dust from the ground, and he shaped it, and he formed it, and he molded it, and then he breathed the breath of life into mankind. Then we read down a few more verses, Genesis 2, verses 21 and 22, of the account of how God made woman from Adam's rib. And we know God saved the best to last. And then we also know that man and woman sinned. And they were separated from God. And sin came into the world. They disobeyed God. Oh, I'm so thankful that God sent Jesus Christ for you and for me. And that as we invite him into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior. Oh, what difference that makes in our lives. That Jesus died on Calvary, paid the ultimate price for you and for me. And that I can, because of this wonderful personal relationship, understand what it means to be reprogrammed by the Holy Spirit so that his heartbeat is reflected in and out of me to others. And you too were all included in this. You see, as God's image bearer, his heartbeat for you is that you and I be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus in attitude and action. Now, I've been speaking for many years on this truth of being created in God's image and that reflecting his image and reflecting Christ. And one woman was having a very difficult day. And so she sent me this note. And she said, Joanne, I know I'm an image bearer of the Lord, but today I just want to be a bear. And she continued in this note. She said, I want to tell you why. If you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You do nothing but sleep for 6 months. I could deal with that, she said. Before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. I could deal with that, too. If you're a mama bear, everyone knows you mean business. And you swat anyone who bothers your cubs. And if your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. I could deal with that. If you're a bear, your mate expects you to wake up growling. And he expects that you will have hairy legs and excess body fat. I just want to be a bear. In experiencing the heartbeat of God or having the heartbeat of God be evident in and through us, let's just take a few minutes here to take a look at some characteristics and qualities that are to be evident in our lives. We've been hearing about them this morning in the wonderful music ministry, the standing in the gap of Bunny, and how we are to reach out and love one another and come alongside of each other and have that persistence and that patience and that diligence. I think back to September the 11th, and you remember how those who were about to lose their lives, They want to get on their cell phones, and many of them did, to leave a message with their loved ones to say these wonderful words of, I love you. Sometimes we wait to the end. I'm wondering what would happen if we begin to use that more and more in our lives. So take time to speak those words of love. I remember when my first granddaughter came. Now, my daughter has these 10 children, and they are not all hers by birth. 8 of them are adopted. So does that kind of set your minds at ease a little here? And they're from all around the world, so they're all different colors. And Deanna calls it her rainbow family. But one of them was from Korea, little Kimmy, our first granddaughter, and they brought her into my daughter's home, and we noticed it was difficult for her to respond, and we would put our arms around her to pick her up, and she didn't feel very comfortable at first. She was 2.5 years of age, but she only weighed 20 pounds. And we noticed that she had scars on her body, and we took her to the doctor, and the doctor checked her out, and he thought probably that she had been burned by hot cigarettes that had touched that precious little flesh all over her body. There was a big gash in her shoulder. And when we would put her on the rug and then reach out to pick her up again, it was so difficult for her to respond because she wasn't really feeling safe. She didn't know what would happen. Within just a few days, she was responding, and her first complete English sentence was, I love you. I wish you could see Kimmy today at 21 years of age. And what has happened is she's experienced the heartbeat of God, of love in her life through others and her personal commitment to Jesus Christ and the healing that he has brought. And don't forget, I have her picture. But maybe some of you were raised as I was raised, and I never heard these words, I love you. Oh, I'm so thankful I was raised in a Christian home, with parents that taught me the value of having this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when I was young, I invited him into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. I was raised in a very educated home. My father was a college professor. He was an intellect, always studying. It seemed to be really difficult for him to have a lot of emotional attachment to the children. And so as a result, I grew up with a lot of bitterness and resentment in my heart towards my father. I reached my 20s, had not heard these words, I love you, from my parents. I reached my 30s, had not heard them. I reached my 40s. By my mid-40s, my mother was beginning to say, I love you. And they were used instantly as healing words. Something about when those words are said from the bottom of the heart, how the past just goes away. But my father found it so difficult. I landed in the hospital, had to have some major surgery, and I thought, this is a time that Dad's going to call, and I'm going to hear him say, I love you, how are you doing, Joanne? But the telephone call did not come in. I thought, well, he'll send a bouquet of flowers. He could afford to send a bouquet of flowers or a telephone call. I had a telephone right by my bed, but none of that happened. And rather than to let it go and work through my feelings and choose to forgive, you see, forgiveness is a choice that we make. It's a decision that we make. It's not a feeling. It's the Holy Spirit helps us work through whatever it is. I had taken back that bitterness and resentment that I had many times, even at M Church, came to the altar and given to the Lord. Do you ever give things to God then take them back? Or do we only do that in Lincoln City? And all the bitterness and the resentment I took back towards my dad. And I went home from that hospital. And my mother, who's very warm and outgoing, I had the difficulty with my father, not my mother. One evening we began to talk. And she wrapped her arms around me as I began to weep. And I said, why cannot Dad? Why can he not respond? I needed to hear, especially at that time in my life, all the things that were happening. I just needed to hear my dad say, I love you, I care. But my mother shared some things about my dad, and it was very helpful to me. And the Lord used it to begin a process of healing, a little bit about his background and the way that he was raised. And then she said something that the Holy Spirit used to really get into the beginning of that healing. Because she said, Joanne, you need to hear this. You probably missed it. From the time that you were born with your twin sister. You see, I have a twin. I had a womb mate. sorry about that. You see, she's my older sister. Actually, the doctors did not know that there were two of us. And my dad didn't know. My mom didn't know. Nobody knew except God, and he didn't tell anybody. So my twin was born, and my mother made some crazy comment, like, I don't think I'm through. And sure enough, she wasn't. 5 minutes later, I was born, and I was a shock. I've been a shock ever since. But my mother said, from the time that you and Judy were born, you need to hear this, Joanne, that not one day has ever passed, but what your father has gone into the privacy of his den, his office, and he's gotten down on his knees, and he has prayed consistently, diligently for you, not one day in 40-some years have ever passed. And Joanne, they were not just sentence prayers. It was a deep, committed time before the Lord for you. What a rich heritage. As I began to consider that, and my mother let me cry, and one of the things that really helps in healing is to have the arms wrapped around us and to hold us when the tears are flowing. It's probably pretty cruel to say to someone after, when they're crying, don't cry, don't cry. It's kind of like after the fact. So she just held me, and the tears were healing as I listened to her more and more, and she came alongside of me. And as she returned back home, I felt that God was saying to me, was speaking to my heart, that I did need to write a letter to my father, and it ended up being a love letter. It was not a letter to say, Dad, I wish you'd done this and this and this. It was a love letter to my dad to thank him for praying for me. To thank him for being this godly father that took me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening service, that lived that godly life. And I chose to forgive him. And I told him that I was going to say regularly, I love you. And I mailed that letter off to him, and he received it. And my mother got the mail, got the letter, and couldn't imagine why I was writing just to my father. Now, my mother is a very inquisitive woman. And so she gave the letter to my dad, and my dad didn't say anything about the letter. And finally, my mother approached him. She told me later she looked through the house 3 days for the letter. And she approached my dad, and she said, I want to know, what about this letter? He said, yeah, I got a letter from Joanne. And he said, it's meant so much to me that wherever I have gone, it has gone with me. And it's gone into my pants pocket, and it's gone into my coat pocket, and I've taken it out many, many times and read it over and over and over again. Did my dad ever tell me that he got the letter? No, but my mother did, so at least I know that he got the letter. But to leave that with the Lord, you see, before Almighty God and our commitment to Jesus Christ, we are not responsible for the way anyone responds to us. I don't know about you, but I love to change people. Do you? Can't you think of all kinds of people you'd love to change? We could take this big roll of paper, and all of us have a pen or a pencil. We'd fill that roll out, all the names of the people we'd love to change. They go all the way down the streets of downtown Medford, huh? But we cannot change anyone. Only God, through the work of the power of the Holy Spirit, can change that person as that person allows the changes to come about. But I'm finding in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and experiencing his heartbeat that it's a full-time job, just God and me. How about you? Full-time, huh? Full-time, you and God. My father, at 85 years of age, had cancer and was dying. Getting ready to go home to Jesus, that tapestry this morning. He gathered all of us together, and in the middle of the conversation, he was fully alert. He would interrupt and he would say, I love you, I love you. The instant healing that the Lord brought when those words were said. I want you to stand up right where you are. Kind of hard just before lunch, sitting for too long of a time. I want you to stand up, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'd like to have you turn to someone, if you're comfortable to do this, if you came with someone. I think maybe they may need to hear the words, I love you. Or if you aren't comfortable with that, to say, I'm so glad that you're here. If you want to give someone a hug, you go right ahead and do that. If you're like me, we always need lots of hugs. Thank you. You may be seated. I am so thankful by the reprogramming of the Holy Spirit, how He heals us, and how those words that are His words can be said so regularly, even if someone does not respond. I have a son that Bobby mentioned that lives in Manhattan, who is away from the Lord. My heart's broken. What is my responsibility to my son? To remember I'm an image bearer of Jesus first and foremost before I'm a mom. That means wide open those doors of communication. That means regularly, daily, as we talk on the phone, actually several times a week, to be able to say those words, I love you. And it's to pray consistently, diligently, for him. Do understand this, that accepting a person does not mean that we condone the sin or the wrong, that person, the choices that they have made, but we are valuing and esteeming that person as God's child. Jesus loves my son as much as he loves me. Have a wide open friendship with that person. John 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, verses 34 and 35. And so I'm giving you, Jesus is saying this, so I'm giving you this commandment to love one another as much as I love you. And in this way, others will see the strong love for each other and will prove to the world that you are my disciples. If we had time to open up the Word, we would use example after example of how Jesus hung out with all kinds of undesirable people. He always accepted the people. Why? Because he loved them. Did he condone the sin and the wrong? No, absolutely not. One of my favorite verses is found in Romans 15:7. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring glory or praise to God.